Welcome. You're listening to The Aligned Self, Conversations in Creating a Conscious and Abundant Life. This is Daniel Denovi. I'll be your guide and host. Let's see just where we can take this. Hello, friend, and welcome back to the conversation. Today's episode is going to be a little bit different because I hope to leave you with many more questions than answers. But before I get into the topic, I want to mention, if you're in the DFW area, this is where you live, Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, I am going to be speaking on the 30th of March in McKinney, 2 p.m. at the Holistic Festival of Life. And the topic of my talk is going to be, just who do you think you are? You see, the power of your self-concept governs your life, and your self-concept is nothing more. Now, it sounds rather simple, nothing more than a series of concepts, conceptual ideas you have about yourself. So if you live in the DFW area, I am going to put a link in the show notes, which will give you free access to both days, Friday and Saturday. I'm speaking on Saturday at 2 p.m. Now, it is not an all-day event. The whole event lasts from 12 to 5, I think, on each day. And since it only goes to 5 and things will probably shut down around 4:30, if you're in the area, if you show up, we could consider going out to dinner. A small group of us, probably, but I think that would be fun. So, today's episode is going to be a series of questions around self-identity. And if you're fairly new to the podcast, this is called The Aligned Self. Most everything I talk about is about self-identity, self-concept. So, as I consider talks, as I consider topics, I lean into the universe. I allow the universe to guide me to ideas, guide me to videos, guide me to teachers that can perhaps enhance my conversation, enhance my understanding, or just give me a different perspective. And this morning, I came across a philosophical concept known as Theseus' Paradox, or the Ship of Theseus. Now, if you're not familiar with Greek history, Theseus was one of the Argonauts, one of the soldiers that went and defeated the Minotaur, the half-man, half-bull that roamed the caverns of Minos. So Theseus was considered a soldier, an Athenian hero, and his ship was kept for historical purposes in the bay, so people could regale and tell the stories of the hero Theseus. Now, over the years, through decay, there were various parts of the ship that were replaced over time. A board here, a board there, a railing there, a mast there, sail over there. And over the period of a few years, virtually every part of the ship had been replaced at some point. And so here's the paradox. Here's the philosophical question. The ship that was sitting in the harbor, was that the same ship that originally was Theseus' ship? Virtually every part was replaced in exact detail, but it was not specifically, exactly, Theseus' ship. And the question is, what constitutes Theseus' ship? What part was one too many, if there was too many? This is a common conversation in the automotive collection field, those that like to collect rare automobiles. Now, I've been looking for an early pickup, probably in the 60s, because I just like the look. The 50s and the 60s, they do it for me. And so I've been looking, and there was this one Chevy pickup that had 500,000 miles on it. But over the years, the engine had been replaced twice. The transmission had been replaced. The shocks, the brakes, most of the running gear. So the only thing that was really original was the body. And so the question becomes, at what point did it stop being a 65 Chevy pickup? Now, in the context of self-identity, self-concept, over the years, you've adopted new ideas, new beliefs about yourself, new perspectives, new mindsets. But for better or worse, most people's self-concepts have not been updated along the way. They still think of themselves, you may still think of yourself as your old self. But in many ways, you've been completely reinvented over the years. For myself, as I've looked over my past, thinking about different incarnations of my previous self, and I'm not talking about reincarnation, I'm talking about different incarnations, different expressions of who I am at different stages of my life. I've reshaped my beliefs, reshaped my behavior, my habits in many ways, sometimes several times within a decade. And it'd be safe to say that some people from my past would encounter me today and not recognize any part of my behavior, virtually no part of my expression. I look somewhat similar, but aside from that, a lot of my behavior has changed. A lot of my priorities, my values have shifted. And so I can ask you, what part of you is the same as it was 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago? Virtually every cell in our body will be replaced every 7 years. You'll have a new liver. Every cell in your liver will be replaced within a year or year and a half. And it used to be thought that we did not create new neurons. But now we're familiar with neurogenesis. Advances in science and medicine have discovered that we can actually build new neurons, new neural connections. We even replace brain cells, which once upon a time you were thought to have only an X number of brain cells, and that if you killed those off, well, you're out of luck. But we now know that we create new brain cells. We can actually recreate or create a whole new brain. So knowing that you can change at any given moment, that you can recreate your beliefs, recreate your mindset, change all the different aspects of yourself, and your body's going to change over time, especially if you're exercising, working out, changing your nutrition, that accelerates that movement. You see, most people live in the idea that their past creates their present. Most of all the work in psychology for many, many years has been all invested in the past. What happened in the past? What happened in your childhood? And I've been talking about that, about subpersonalities. And there's a certain aspect that is true. Those memories, those ideas, those narratives, those stories that we have about ourselves that are in our past, we recall into the future. See, they do not actually exist out in time and space. We recreate them every time we recall them. Every time we focus on them, we revivify them, we bring them alive. And they could be old stories that no longer serve you. It's only in your recalling of them that you're aware of them, that you're present to them. But that comes from the mindset that whatever happened to me in the past predicts the future, predicts who I am today. And you hear people talk about it all the time. Oh, I am the way I am because of the parents I had or the situation that I grew up in. If you knew what I went through as a kid, you'd be this way too. But there's two pathways to personal growth. You can resolve the past in order to create a new future. Once you complete on the past, it's no longer, I guess, a relevant story or relevant excuse on why you are the way you are, then you're free to create something new. The other alternative for personal growth, if you really understand that your past is just a story, it's just something you went through, and then you have a particular narrative which gives meaning to what happened, what you experienced. It's in telling those perpetual stories that keeps that alive. If you get that it's a story and you can give up the story, then you can create yourself brand new right this moment. See, you could be born anew every moment. You could be a different person, a different expression each and every moment, each and every day. But what allows you to recreate yourself each and every day? If you have the freedom to be anyone, be anything that you want, how do you validate who you are each and every day when you get up in the morning? How do you know it's you? What part of yesterday, what part of last week, what part of last year are you bringing into this moment to recreate yourself in this moment? Kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it? This validation process is very important. How do you validate who you are? What proof do you have? What proof do you rely on? What evidence do you call forth in your experience to validate who you are? Now, I've thought about this idea in the context of different movies and different stories where someone has an accident and they lose their memory. They can't remember who they are. They have no idea where they come from, no idea what they did or who they are being in life. And then as the stories unfold, usually they're some kind of super spy or they have a particular set of skills that they get to put in practice because they're faced in this, they were thrust into this situation that they now have the skills to deal with, but originally they couldn't remember who they were. But it got me thinking, how do we validate who we are? Do we rely on our ID? Do we rely on the feedback from other people? Like if I walk into the house and my wife doesn't recognize me, and she claims that she doesn't remember me, how can I prove to her who I am? I might be able to produce my ID, but if she doesn't validate the existence of me, if she doesn't say that that's a legitimate, authentic identification or motivated identification, then I have to use some other alternative to prove who I am, at least to her. And so the question I want to leave you with in this regard is, do you validate yourself through outside sources, outside means, other people's opinions, other people's assessments? How do you determine whether you're a good person or a bad person? Is it based on the feedback of other people? How many people like you? You see, a lot of people won't actually be authentic, won't express what they really feel, what they really want, because they're afraid of how other people are going to perceive it. They might encounter the ill will of others. And so they squash their internal voice. They squash who they really want to be. They squash their wants and needs. They're like a chameleon, and they show up and change their colors based on the situation, based on the feedback from other people. Well, that's not a healthy expression. And, you know, there's a million people, there's billions of people on the planet. And so each of those different people have a different perspective, or could have a different assessment. Are you going to try and please all of them? I would say not, but a lot of people attempt to. The majority of people are really invested in looking good for other people, really, you know, getting or achieving the good esteem of others. A healthy, well-adjusted individual ultimately doesn't care what you think. They may use that as feedback on whether or not they're on course or to reassess their own position, but ultimately they acquiesce to their own sense of rightness and justice for them. What do they stand for? And I love the quote, "You either stand for something or you'll fall for anything." But what you stand for is determined from within. It's something you arrive at on your own, through your own life examination. And I can't remember if it was Plato or Socrates that said, an unexamined life is not worth living. And I used to ponder that, because that's all it was given, that's all that was said, and the context of why he said it wasn't really presented. So an unexamined life is not worth living. Is that true? Is that true? What happens if you don't examine your life? If you don't actually consciously choose how you show up? Well, in my assessment, what you're left with is a collection of knee-jerk, habitually learned responses that you've adopted along the way, adopted from childhood, in order to get along with other people with the least amount of pain and hopefully a little bit of pleasure. You see, when I say knee-jerk habitually learned responses, it's because most people have adopted their self-concept based on the feedback from other people as they were growing up. By and large, they haven't actually chosen who they wanted to be. They haven't actually chosen how they want to show up in the world. Even when people choose, they sometimes do it in the context of kind of within an envelope of their upbringing. The paradox of Theseus's ship, is it original? Is it identifiable? What aspect of it makes it Theseus's ship? Leans into the concept of self-identity. What is it about you that makes you, you? Do you want an answer? In the very simplistic terms, and it is simplistic, there's more dimension to this, but in very simplistic terms, you are who you say you are. You are who you declare yourself to be, and then when you align your behavior with what you declare, that is who you are. And so if you can accept that who you are is simply a story, whatever you tell and align your behavior with, hence the aligned self, aligning your heart with your mind and your body. If you can accept that, then you can show up as completely reinvented at any given moment in time. But if you find yourself entangled in the stories of the past, if you have some patterns that are unconscious that kind of inform who you are today, then that needs to be resolved first. Because as most people find out, when you try and recreate yourself brand new without resolving the past has a way of sneaking back up into the conversation because you haven't actually released that old story. It's like taking that 65 Chevy and not replacing the engine, not replacing the running gear, but just simply slapping a fresh coat of paint on it and saying, hey, that's a 65 Chevy with 500,000 miles. Should I buy it knowing that it just simply has a fresh coat of paint on it? Chances are it's not going to last to 555,000 miles. And so, my friend, the question I ask you, the one I'm going to leave you with, just who do you think you are? Until next time, this is your friend and host, Daniel Danovi, urging you to follow your bliss. Live your life from inner signals, be inner directed as you engage in the epic adventure.